Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yuma daf Ayin Gimel. This is the last daf in the seventh perek of Maseches Yuma. For those on the Zoom, good morning. Pleasure to be learning with you again. This is obviously not Rabbi Leibowitz. I'm Elisha Greff. I will be covering for Rabbi Leibowitz for essentially the next month while he's away. I know the rabbi will be delivering a Zoom Shear at some point. I think he's targeting sometime in the afternoon, New York time. Avi Khan has been in touch with you about timing. I will not be offended if every single participant on the Zoom opts to learn with the rabbi on his shear as opposed to coming here. I will still be Zooming in the morning just because I'm giving the shear anyway from BKNW, but I'll be giving today, tomorrow, and then the rabbi's back Friday, and then I'm pretty much on for 2.5 weeks consecutive, and we'll give you a heads up when the rabbi is coming back on a more permanent basis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and we thank him very much for the sponsorship. So today we are going to first cover off a discussion that we spoke about or that we started yesterday about the way in which the kalim in the Mishkan, in which the curtains of the Mishkan were embroidered. That's going to take only just a couple of minutes. And then the bulk of the daf, until we finish the seventh parak of Maseches Yuma, is going to talk about the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. So we had already spoken about the Kohen Gadol and how many the Gadim and the Kohen Gadol wears versus the Kohen Hedyot. We're going to talk about the Kohen Mashuach Milchama. We're going to talk about whether he wears Shmona Begadim like the Kohen Gadol. Does he wear something less? Is it Arba Begadim? Is it neither? So we're going to talk a lot about that. We're also then going to talk about the process for the Kohen asking, seeking counsel from the Urim V'Tumim, because of the main role of the Kohen Mashuach Milchama obviously was to lead Klal Yisrael into Milchama, to motivate Klal Yisrael and the troops before they went to Milchama. And one of the interesting procedures that Klal Yisrael historically used to use before going out to Milchama was that the Melech would ask the Kohen, and we'll see which Kohen it was, but the Melech would ask the Kohen to consult with the Urim V'Tumim to let the Kohen know, to let the Melech know, rather, whether it was an auspicious time to start to go to war, whether they would be successful, whether, God forbid, they wouldn't be successful. So we're going to talk a little bit at the close of the Perek about the procedure for making inquiries of the Urim V'Tumim. And then the eighth Perek of the Masechta, which we'll get to toward the end of the Shir, is going to commence a discussion of all of the various Inuyim. So we've been learning now over 70 days into Maseches Yuma, and obviously one of the focal points for us in our observance of Yom Kippur are the Chamish Inuyim of Yom Kippur, and that's what we're going to talk about when we start the eighth Perek of the Masechta. So again, the rabbi left off yesterday 2, 4, 5 lines from the bottom, the beginning of the line, Maise Rokeim. So that's where the rabbi left off yesterday, so we will pick up from there. So again, just talking about the various methods of embroidery for the kalim in the Mishkan and for the curtains that were in the Mishkan. So says the Gemara, Maise Rokeim, Maise Choshev. So there's a conflict in the Psukim, because one of the Psukim referred to the kalim as Maise Rokeim, which is the Maise of an embroiderer, and the other pasuk refers to it as Maise Choshev, which is the Maise of a designer, which is the Maise of a designer. So which one is it? So Amar Rav Elazar, Sherokmim B'makom Shechoshvim. So what it means is that they would first basically draw an outline on let's say it was a curtain, so they would draw an outline on the cloth, and then they would cover in basically what they had already marked as a design. And that's the way Rashi explains. Basically, when you want to color, so for example, they didn't have coloring books back then, right? So if you wanted to give something to somebody to color, you would first make the outline, and then you would have somebody color in the shape of the outline. So that's what Maise Rokeim is. So Tana Mishmei de Rav Nechemya. So Rav Nechemya though learns the opposite. So instead of interpreting Rokeim and Choshev as being the same thing, which is essentially what Rav Elazar had done, Rav Nechemya gives, which is what I think the more popular definition or distinction between the two, which is Rokeim Maise Machat. Rokeim means Maise Machat. It's needlework. Lefichach Partsef Echad. So in other words, therefore, there was one image on one side of whatever cloth was embroidered. And Choshev is Maise Oreg Lefichach Shnei Partsufos. And Choshev is Maise Oreg, which is a woven image. And therefore, there would be two images. And the way Rashi explains is that there were obviously two sides to the curtain, and the sides were separated by a piece of cloth or by a piece of silk. and through using a more sophisticated manner of weaving, the craftspeople were able to make it so that one side of the curtain showed one image, and the other side of the curtain showed another image. So unlike standard embroidery, where something is embroidered on one side, it's visible on the reverse through the other side, Maisa Choshev is a little bit more sophisticated in that each side of the embroidery showed a different tzura. So Rashi says, for example, one side could be an Ari and one side could be a Nesher. So one side would show a lion, one side would show an eagle. But the point is, it was a very sophisticated type of woven embroidery instead of simple needlework. So that's the distinction between the two. Okay, so now we're going to talk a lot about the Meshuach Melchama. So says the Gemara, the two dots, four lines up, from the bottom of the Amud, be'elu nishalim be'urim v'tumim. So with these, he would ask the Kohen would consult with the Urim v'tumim. So Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar, so when Rav Dimi came, he said, begadim shekohen gadol mashamish behem, the begadim that the Kohen Gadol will be mashamish in other words, the shmona begadim, so Meshuach Melchama mashamish behem. So the Meshuach Melchama would also be mashamish in those shmona begadim, shenemar. How do we know? Because the pasuk compares the two. It says, "Bigdei Hakodesh asher li Aaron, yu lavanav acharav." That the Bigdei Kodesh that Aaron wore should be for his children, and then it says Levanov Acharav. So what does the word Acharav in the Pasuk come to teach me? I know that Aaron's children would come after him, because of course, once children come after him, they're the Mamali Mokum, they fill his place. So what does it mean, Acharav? So the Gemara Darshan's Lamisha Ba Bigdula Acharav. That it includes the person who comes to Gedula after the Kohen Gadol. And again, what does it mean after the Kohen Gadol? So the Rashi over here explains that what it means is that the directive in the Pasuk to wear the Shmona Begadim applies not only to Aaron, not only to his children who are going to take over for Aaron as the Kohen Gadol, but also to the Kohen whose Kedusha is a little bit less chomer, it's a little bit lower level Kedusha than the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol. And what is that? That is the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. So that's how we know that the Kohen Meshuach Melchama wears Shmona Begadim. Says the Gemara, Masav Ravada Barahava Va'amri La Kedi. So Ravada Barahava asks, and some don't attribute the Brisa to anybody in particular, Yachol Yehe B'no Shel Meshuach Melchama. Meshamesh Tachtav Kederach Shabno Shekoin Godol Meshamesh Tachtav. I might think that the son of the Meshuach Melchama should immediately succeed to the place of the Meshuach Melchama, just like the son of the Kohen Gadol immediately and automatically succeeds to the position of Kohen Gadol. So Rashi over here points out that it is true that the first dibs on the replacement Kohen Gadol goes to the son of the Kohen Gadol, but that's only true if the son of the Kohen Gadol is Roi. So if the son of the Kohen Gadol is not going to be Roi, then obviously he's not going to serve as the Kohen Gadol. But to the extent he is worthy of serving as the Kohen Gadol, it is true that he is first in line in order to take over. So says the Gemara, I might think that this child of the Meshuach Melchama should succeed to his position just like the child of the Kohen Gadol succeeds to his position. Says the Gemara, flipping over to Ayin Gimel Lamed Aleph, Tamid Lomar, Shivas Yomim Yilbashei Makohen Tachtav Mibanav Asher Yavo El Ol Moed. So when does the Pasuk talk about Asher Yulba Yulbashem HaKohen Tachtav Mibanav? When does the Pasuk give the reference to the Kohen and his children who are going to succeed him? That's only Asher Yavol Ol Moed. So the Gemara Darshan's Misha Roy Lovel Ol Moed, that it only applies to somebody who is going to go into the Ol Moed. Who goes into the Ol Moed? Obviously, it's only the Kohen Gadol who goes into the Ol Moed. The Meshuach Melchama doesn't go into the Ol Moed because he doesn't do any service in the Beis HaMikdash. He's there for a different reason, which is when Klal Yisrael goes out to Melchama, and therefore the Pasuk, which talks about the succession to the Kahuna, when it mentions the Ol Moed, when it mentions the child succeeding to the position of the father, it's obviously only talking about the Kohen Gadol. It's not talking about the Meshuach Melchama, who doesn't do any avoda in the Ol Moed. So says the Gemara, but v'im Isa, so the Gemara is now asking, basically, the implication is that the Kohen Meshuach Melchama is not roi to serve in the Ol Moed, that he's not able to do the avoda in the Ol Moed. So why? V'im Isa, and if it was true that the Kohen Mashuach Mechama wore Shmona Begadim, if he wore the full getup of the Kohen Gadol, Michsei Chazi, then he would be ra'oi to do the Avoda in the Ohel Moed, because just like the Kohen Gadol could do the Avoda in the Ohel Moed when he's wearing the Shmona Begadim, so too the Mashuach Mechama, to the extent he's wearing the Shmona Begadim, could also do the Avoda in the Ohel Moed. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Hachi Kamar. So this is what the Gemara means to say. Kol she'ikar mishichaso la'olam moed, yatzazeh she'ikar mishichaso la'milchama. Sort of gives the obvious answer, right? We're not saying that the Kohen Mashuach Milchama is not eligible because he's not wearing the begadim that would render him eligible for performing the avoda. No, what the pasuk means, the pasuk is talking about a type of Kohen who does business, who does his work in the olam moed. So who's the Kohen that does all his work in the olam moed? That's the Kohen Gadol who wears the shmona begadim. You don't have a raya that the Kohen Mashuach Milchama never wears the shmona begadim. It's just that he doesn't wear those begadim typically in the Ohel Moed. So no raya from here. So where we are now is we were wondering, does the Kohen Mashuach Milchama wear the Shmona Begadim? We tried to bring a raya from the fact that there is no succession to the children in the case of the Mashuach Milchama. Therefore, he can't wear the Shmona Begadim. And right now in the Gemara, we've said we've deflected that raya. So we don't have a raya as to whether he wears the Shmona Begadim or not. So the Gemara is going to pursue that answer. So Meisvei, so the Gemara says, so Mashuach Milchama ena meshamesh lo ba'arba kakoin hedyot, lo b'shmona kakoin gadol. So the Mashuach Milchama, he's sort of in a quandary. He's stuck. He can't wear arba begadim like a kohen hedyot because he's more important than a kohen hedyot. He can't wear shmona begadim like a kohen gadol because after all, he's not the kohen gadol. Says the Gemara, but now you've painted me into a corner. So amar le abaya el azar mashvis le. So you're going to turn him into a czar. So you said he can't wear the shmona begadim. Good. He can't wear the arba begadim. Also fine. So what's he supposed to wear? He's supposed to wear civilian clothing. He's not going to wear anything that identifies him as a kohen mashuach milchama. Ella, so the Gemara says like this, Ella kakoin gadol mishum Eva. The reason that he can't wear the shmona begadim of the kohen gadol is because of Eva, is because it might engender ill will if the kohen gadol has this very unique and this very, very important type of wardrobe that he wears, the special clothing. If he sees the Mashuach Milchama wearing the Shmona Begadim, he's going to develop a sense of enmity and he's not going to appreciate it. So because of Eva, in order to avoid the sense of enmity that might arise, we're not going to let him wear the Shmona Begadim. So Kakoin Hedyot Mishom Demala Mekodesh Ve'imaridin. So, and he doesn't wear the Shmona Begadim because, he doesn't wear the Arba Begadim rather because of the Kohen Hedyot, because Malam Mekodesh Ve'imaridin, because he's more important than the kohen hedyot. So all the Gemara seems to have done so far, though, is to explain why he doesn't wear the arba begadim and why he doesn't wear the shmona begadim. The Gemara never really answered the question, well, in that case, you're making him like a czar. But the truth is, no, it did, because what we're saying is the reason he doesn't wear the shmona begadim is only because of Eva. What does it sound like when the Gemara says that he doesn't wear the shmona begadim because of Eva? It sounds like on a deraisa level, he should wear the Shmona Begadim. The Mashuach Milchama should wear the same Shmona Begadim as the Kohen Gadol. The only reason he doesn't do it is because of Eva. So if the Gemara is going to ask, does the Mashuach Milchama wear Shmona Begadim? Is he entitled to wear Shmona Begadim? The answer is yes. In practice, he doesn't because of Eva. The Nafkamina, the Siach Yitzchak points out, is let's say the Kohen Gadol passed away. So there is no Kohen Gadol right now. There is no Kohen Gadol who's an active Kohen Gadol. So in that case, does the Mashuach Milchama wear Shmona Begadim? If you want to tell me that on a Daraisa level, he never wears the Shmona Begadim, then the answer is no, he shouldn't wear the Shmona Begadim, even though the Kohen Gadol is dead. If, however, Midaraisa, the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, should wear the Shmona Begadim, it's only because of Eva that he doesn't wear the Shmona Begadim, then if the Kohen Gadol is no longer alive and there's no sense of Eva, there's no concern of Eva because you can't have a feeling of enmity if you're dead, so in that case, the Kohen Mashuach Milchama will wear the Shmona Begadim. All right, so far, where we are is we have a raya that on a deraisa level, Mashuach Milchama shall wear the Shmona Begadim. Good, says the Gemara now weiter. So Amar le Rav Ada bar Ava le Rava, v'haytana delesle Eva v'lo kamashamesh. You're telling me the only reason that the Kohen Mishal Chochama doesn't wear the Shmona Begadim is because of Eva. We're afraid of enmity. But I'll bring you a Tana who's not afraid of Eva, yet says that the Mishloach Mechama doesn't wear Shmona Megadim. Who's this Tana? The Tanya, so we're going to take a little detour before we get there. Dvarim Shemen Koin Gadol LeKoin Hedyot. There are a number of things that distinguish between the Koin Gadol and the Koin Hedyot. And they are Par Koin Mashiach Uparaba Kola Mitzvos. So Rashi points out that there are gersos here, and on the side it points out that there are gersos here that consolidate these two, because the Par Koin Mashiach and the Par Abba Kol HaMitzvos are the same thing. What is it? So what this is basically is that if the Kohen paskins a halacha that mistakenly, that causes a lot of people to be over an Avera, and it would be something that if he did it intentionally, it would be a chi of kares, so he brings a par, basically for atonement. It's a type of chatas that only Kohen Gadol brings. So the Par Kohen Mashiach and Par Abba Kol HaMitzvos, they're duplicative of each other, but that's what it is. So let's read in whichever one you want, pick one, so only one of those. So that's what the Kohen Gadol does. The Kohen Hedyot doesn't bring that. Upar Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol brings the Par Yom Kippur that we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks. V'asiris ha'eifa, and he has the special mincha offering of the asiris ha'eifa that he will bring half in the morning, half in the evening. Lo Parea, he cannot leave his hair uncut, even if he's experiencing an avelus. V'lo Poreim, nor does he tear kriya, like regular avelim tear kriya. Avo Poreim u'milamata. What he does, he has to tear kriya if he experiences a loss of one of his immediate relatives, but what he'll do is instead of tearing kriya on the top of his beged, like most avelim, he'll tear kriya in the hem of his beged, all the way on the bottom, so it's not going to be readily apparent that he actually tore kriya. The Hedyot Milmala, and a Kohen Hedyot should conduct himself like a regular person, and just like a regular person tears Kriya on the top, so too the Kohen Hedyot would tear Kriya on the top. So Ve'ein Metame L'Krovav, and the Kohen Gadol cannot be Metame to his Krovim, U'mitsuve ala Besula, and he's mitsuve on a Besula, he has to marry a Besula, it says, Kim Besula Me'amo Yikach Isha, Umuzar al halmana, and he's also warned there is an azhara against him marrying an almana, because an almana, somebody who previously had a husband, is obviously not going to be a psula. So therefore, turns out that there is an asay and a los asay, which is telling the Kohen Gadol that he has to marry a bisula. Umachzir esarotseach, and his death causes a rotseach to leave the ir miklat. Umakriv onein, and he can do the avoda even when he's experiencing aninas. Aninas on a daraisa level is the yom hamisa. So even though regularly a kohen is not supposed to do the avoda when he's an onein, the kohen gadol can do the avoda when he's an onein. Vein ochel, however, even though the halachas of aninas are suspended in that he's permitted to do the avoda, they are not suspended in that he, like a regular kohen, is not allowed to eat from kachem when he's an onein. Vein acholek, and therefore he doesn't take a portion of kachem as well. Rashi explains, why in the world would the kohen take a portion of kachem if he's not allowed to eat it anyway? What's he taking it for? So the answer is because when he's an onein, if he's an onein now, he's not allowed to take it, even though tonight, let's say we're talking about a type of korban that he's allowed to eat until the next day. So he's not allowed to take it when he's an onein, even though that night the aninus is going to be over, because midaraisa aninus is not until burial, it's only yom ha-misa. So at night the aninus is going to be over, so at night he's going to be able to eat it, but since he's an onein now, he doesn't take a chelek either. So there's like a little bit of a hybrid halacha. The kohen is allowed to do the avoda even though he's an onein, but he's not allowed to take from the kachim, nor is he allowed to eat the kachim. The notel chelek barosh, Kohen Gadol takes chelek barosh, he always gets to go first. Umakrev chelek barosh, he's entitled to do the avoda whenever he wants to do the avoda. Umishamesh b'shmona kelim, and he is mishamesh b'shmona kelim, b'shmona begadim, we're getting to the raya. Upotter al tumas mikdash v'kachav, and he's potter on tumas mikdash v'kachav. V'chol avodos yom kippurim enok sheras elabo, and all of the avodos of Yom Kippur are only kosher if done with the Kohen Gadol. So before we get to the Raya, let's just pause here for a second. So when it says, V'chol avodas yom kippurim einak sheras elabo, it's mashma that any avoda which is performed on Yom Kippur, whether it's part of the avoda of Yom Kippur or whether it's simply an avoda that happens to be done on Yom Kippur, they all have to be performed with the Kohen Gadol. So in that case, some of the Rishonim, the Baal HaMor, asks, how then do we explain the Seder Avoda on Yom Kippur, which we read during Musaf of Yom Kippur, which talks about the pious, it talks about the lottery that they used to draw in order to figure out who does the Avoda. Says the Baal HaMor, why are we busy with a pious if the Kohen Gadol has to do all of the Avoda on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash anyway? What are they drawing lots for, to see who does it? The Kohen Gadol does it. It should be obvious. So the Ramban explains that no, it's impossible to say that the Paitan, who was Rav Elazar HaKalir, made a mistake. He didn't realize that the Kohen Gadol did all the Avoda on Yom Kippur. It's rather, the Ramban says, when the Gemara says the Kohen Gadol does all the Avoda on Yom Kippur, it means the Avoda, which is unique to Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to do all of that Avoda. The Avoda that was done on Yom Kippur, just like it was done every other day, like the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, so on and so forth, that could have been done by anybody else. But when the Gemara says that all of the Avoda of Yom Kippur is done with him, it means the Avoda that's unique to Yom Kippur, that must be done with the Kohen Gadol. Now, says the Gemara, here's a raya. Remember, we're trying to cite a brisa for the Amora who doesn't hold from Eva, who's not afraid of Eva, and we had now listed a whole bunch of distinctions between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot, and we now say, V'chula noagos b'meruba begadim. All of these stringencies, all of these halachas that apply to the Kohen Gadol also apply to a Kohen Meruba Begadim. What's a Meruba Begadim? So there were two means through which the Kohen Gadol was able to be elevated to his stature, to his status of the Kohen Gadol. One was the Kohen Mashiach. He would have the Shemen HaMishcha poured over his head. He would be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. And the second way, after they lost the Shemen HaMishcha in the second base of Mikdash, they would just don the eight priestly vestments on him. They would don the Shmona Begadim on the, they would put the Shmona Begadim on this Kohen, and by dressing him in the Shmona Begadim, he would be a Meruba Begadim. He would be elevated to that status through getting dressed like that. So all of these apply to the Meruba Begadim, chutz mi par ba'al kol ha-mitzvos, except for the par that the Kohen has to bring if he messes up a psak that causes people to sin. V'chulon noagos b'meshuach sha'avar, and all of these halachos apply to a meshuach sha'avar, meaning a Kohen Mashiach who was the Kohen Gadol, who lost his status as the Kohen Gadol. I don't know, he developed a mum or whatever it was, but he aged out of serving as the Kohen Gadol. So the former Kohen Gadol emeritus, all of these halachos apply to him as well. Chutz mi par yom kippurim, except he doesn't bring the par yom kippur, v'asira se'efa, nor does he bring the asira se'efa. So we see that all of these halachos apply to a Kohen Sha'avar, including that he wears the Shmona Begadim. So if the Kohen Sha'avar, if the former Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Emeritus is going to wear the Shmona Begadim, then obviously this Tana is not afraid of Eva. Why? He's not afraid that there's going to be any ill will between the currently serving Kohen Gadol and the previously serving Kohen Gadol. And so this Tana obviously doesn't hold of Eva. V'chulan ein noagos b'meshuach melchama, and all of these halachos don't apply to meshuach melchama, chutz michamisha dvarim amurim b'parsha, except for the five things that are specifically stated in the parsha, which are lo pareah v'lo pareim, he doesn't grow his hair, nor does he tear kriya, v'lo matami lekrovav, and he's not matami to krovim, u'mitzuva l'absula u'muzor al-almana, this is considered one thing, and because again, it's an asay and a los asay that he has to marry a besula, umachzir es harotzeach, and his death causes the rotzeach to leave the ir miklat. Kedivri Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, v'chachamim omrim eina machzir, and the chachamim, however, say that he's not machzir a rotzeach. So over here we say we have a Tana who does not hold from Eva. Because how do we know the Tana doesn't hold from Eva? Because he says that both the current and the prior Kohen Gadol all wear the Shmona Begadim. So if you're going to have two people wearing the Shmona Begadim at the same time, he's obviously not afraid that there's going to be a feeling of enmity between the two. So this Tana doesn't hold from Eva. But when we said in the Braisa, how many Begadim does the Meshuach Melchama wear? What was the answer? It's not eight, because there are five halachas in which the Kohen Meshuach Melchama is similar to the Kohen Gadol, wearing eight begadim is not one of them. So this Tana doesn't hold from Eva, yet still says that the Meshuach Melchama doesn't wear Shmona begadim. So says the Gemara, no, this Tana doesn't hold from Eva as between the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Sha'avar, But maybe between the Kohen Gadol and the Mashuach Melchama, he will agree that there's a sense of Eva. Says the Gemara, Ki lesle Eva b'tekavase, b'tezuter mine isle Eva. When does this Tana say that there is no Eva? That's only with two people who are of a similar stature, where you have the Kohen Sha'avar and the current Kohen, the currently serving Kohen. However, by the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, where he never served as a Kohen Gadol, he might not be as great as the Kohen Gadol. Therefore, for him to wear the Shemoneh Begadim is going to instill a sense of Eva. Therefore, this Tana, even though in one scenario, in one circumstance, he doesn't hold from Eva, could be that in other scenarios he would hold from Eva. Okay, so says the Gemara now, Viter. So Yosef, Rabbi Avo, v'kamar alu l'hashmaita m'shmeidu Rav Yochanan. So Rav Avo was saying over this maimar in the name of Rav Yochanan, Adrinu Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi l'apayu. And Rav Ami and Rav Asi were listening to Rav Avo say over this brisa, this maimar, and they turned around. So why did they turn around? So Rashi says they turned around to signal their disapproval, meaning they believe that Rav Yochanan never said this brisa. So Rav Avo was quoting in the name of Rav Yochanan. They turned around to show their disapproval. So Yikadamri Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amra. Others say that Rav Chiya Bar Abba was saying in the name of Rav Yochanan. Vadrinu Ravami Ravasi Lapayu. And again, they turned around to signal their displeasure. So Maskef L'Rav Papa Bishlam Rav Avo. I understand if it was a Rav Avo who said the brisa in the name of Rav Yochanan. Mishum Yakra de Bekesar. So because of Yakra de Bekesar, so Rav Avo was a very well-connected person. He was a member of the Beis Hanasi, and he was well-received in the Bekesar. So he was a very chash of a person. So if he was saying over Allah in the name of Rav Yochanan, Rav Ami and Rav Asi didn't want to be disrespectful by correcting him explicitly, so therefore they signaled their displeasure by turning around. But if it was Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba who was reporting the brisa in front of Rav Ami and Rav Asi, why they do this weird thing that they were signaling their disapproval by turning around? Let him just say, if they didn't believe that it was Rav Yochanan who said the brisa over, who was really the author of the brisa, so then they should have just told him explicitly it's not Rav Yochanan. So Amar Rav Yochanan, let him just say explicitly that Rav Yochanan never said this. So Kiyosa Ravin Amar Nishalitmar. So when Ravin came, he said. So when Ravin came, he said Nishalitmar. So in other words, the way Rashi explains over here is Lav Mishamish Bemitmar Ela Nishal Bemitmar. Begodim Shekoin Godol Mishamish Bem Moshuach Mechama Nishal Keshiyotzel Mechama VeNishal Burim VeTumim Shamelach Nishal Olahem. In other words, there's no question of whether the Kohen Gadol is Mishamesh in the Shmoneh, the Kohen Mashuach Mechama rather, is Mishamesh in the Shmoneh Begadim, because the Kohen Mashuach Mechama isn't Mishamesh anything. He doesn't do the Avodah. His role is more of like a figurehead role. They consult with him before they go out to Mechama. He motivates them when they go out to Mechama, but that's what he didn't like. In other words, he didn't like that it was talking about Mishamesh, but rather the question is, what begadim does the Kohen Mashuach Melchama wear when they ask the question of the Urim V'Tumim? So Tani Nami Hachi, so we have a brisa like this as well. Begadim Shekohen Gadol Mishamesh Behem, the begadim that the Kohen Gadol is Mishamesh in, Kohen Mashuach Melchama Nishal Behem. Those are the begadim that the Kohen Mashuach Melchama wears when he receives the questions directed to the Urim V'Tumim. Good. So now the Gemara is going to get into the procedure. So Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad Shoalin, how does one inquire of the Urim V'Tumim? So Ashoel Panav Klape Nishal. So the Shoel, who's usually the Melech is asking, should we go out to war, should we not go out to war? So the Melech stands facing the Nishal, the person who's being asked is the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, because he's wearing the Urim V'Tumim, and Va'Nishal Panav Klape Shechina. And the Nishal is also facing the Shechina. So how does that work? If the Nishal is facing the Shechina and the Shoel is facing the Nishal, isn't the Shechina right next to where the Shoel is? How does that work? So basically, the way the Mefarshim explain is that the Melech stands opposite the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, so the Shoel is standing klape the Nishal, and the Nishal is looking at the Shechina. The Shechina is a reference to the Urim V'Tumim. So the Urim V'Tumim, we're going to see on Amud Beis where exactly the Urim V'Tumim were, but the Urim V'Tumim were worn probably in the Choshen, either they were the stones of the Choshen or was a little cloth with the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Choshen. And so when you say that the Nishal would look at the Shechina, the Nishal basically would look down. So the Melech Mashiach was standing opposite the Kohen Meshuach Melchama, Meshuach Melchama was looking down. And Ashoal Omar, the Shoal would say, Erdov Achriya Gdut Hazeh, should I pursue this troop? Vanishal Omar, and the Nishal would say, Komar Hashem Alei Vatzlach. Yes, Hashem said you should go and you should be Matzliach. So Rav Yehuda Omar, Ein Tzorech Lomar Komar Hashem Alei Vatzlach. The Kohen Meshuach Melchama doesn't have to say, oh, Hashem says go, you'll go and you'll be successful. Because we know, obviously, whatever the Meshuach Melchama is saying over is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, because that's why you're there, asking him, asking the Urim V'Tumim. So you don't have to say, so Hashem said. So you would just say, go, you'll be Matzliach. Ein shoal lemikol, you don't ask in a loud voice, shenemar v'shoal lo, because it says v'shoal lo, that's not in the lashon of shouting, v'lo mahar b'libo, but nor can you be mahar b'libo and just think the thoughts, you have to enunciate them rather, shenemar v'shoal lo, lefnei Hashem, ela kederach shamra chana b'tfila. So the paradigm is the way chana davened in her tfila, shenemar v'chana, hima daberes aliba, that chana's lips were moving, v'ein shoal, however, she wasn't, Eli didn't really know that she was davening because she was davening in a very low voice. So in other words, you should ask in a low tone. You shouldn't yell, but you can't whistle. You can't just think in your mind. You need to actually enunciate with your lips. You actually have to speak the words out. In shoal en shnei dvarim kechad, you don't ask two things at once. V'im shoal emachzirin el echad. And if you do ask two things at once inappropriately, then you're only answered on one of them. V'imachzirin lo el arishon. And furthermore, you're only going to be answered on the first request, not on the second inquiry. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Hayas Giruni Baale Ki'ila Biyado Hayered Shaul. David HaMelech asks, will the people of Ki'ila give me over to Shaul, and will Shaul come to Ki'ila to try to kill me? Vayomer Hashem Yered. And Hashem said, yes, Shaul will come. Says the Gemara, that's very confusing, because you told me you're not supposed to ask two things at once. And if you ask two things, you're only going to be answered on one, and not only that, you're going to be answered on the first thing. So the raya is from David HaMelech. He says, are the people of Ki'ila going to give me over? And is Shaul going to come get me? And the Urim V'Tumim says, yes, Shaul is going to come get you. That's the second thing. That's not the first thing. So, Sava Amrit, Imachzirin El El Arishon. You told me that that if you ask two questions at once, you're only going to be answered on the first question. Says the Gemara, David Shaul, flipping over to Amud Beis, David Shaul Shalo Kaseder. No, that David asked Shalo Kaseder. He asked in an inappropriate way, because his question was, is Shaul going to come to Ki'ila? And after he comes to Ki'ila, are they going to give me over to Shaul? So David messed up the order. So the Urim V'Tumim was answering him on the question that he should have asked first. V'chzira lo kaseder. So the Urim V'Tumim was answering the question that he should have asked first. V'kivan she'ada she'shol shalo kaseder. When David chapped that he asked shalo kaseder, chazer v'shol kaseder. He then asked the question that should have been asked second, but that he asked first, he asked it again to make sure that everything was kaseder. Shenemar, Haizkiruni Bale Kila Osi Vesanoshai Biyad Shaul. The then asked, oh, and are the people of Ki'ila going to give me over to Shaul? Vayomer Hashem, Yazgiru, and Hashem said, yes, they're going to give you over. So in other words, when David realized that he messed up the order of the questions, he re-asked what should have been the second question in order so that it actually was indeed the second question that he asked. So v'im hotzrach, the Gemara says, yeah, it generally is the rule that you're not allowed to ask two questions at once. However, if there's an urgency, hotzrach adavar l'shnayim achzirun l'shnayim. If, let's say, things are very urgent and you have to know right away, should he go out to Melchama or not? So in that case, you could ask twice. You could ask two questions, rather, and you will be answered those questions at the same time. Shnemar v'yishal David b'ashem le'mar ha'erdov achri ha'gdud hazeh. Ha'asiguni vayomer Hashem vayomer lo redov ki aseg tasig vatzel tatzil. So we see he asked two questions, and because of the urgency, he was answered those two questions at the same time. So v'afal pish gzeras navi chazeres. Now the Gemara says parenthetically that even though the gzeras navi could be chozer, that for example Rashi gives it an example as Yonah, and Nineveh repented. So even though the Gzeres Navi could be Chozer, Gzeres Unum V'Tumim ain't a Chozeres. The Gzeres Unum V'Tumim cannot be Chozer. It's set in stone, sealed in stone. Shneamar B'Mishpat Urim Bamishpat Urim. It says, it calls it Mishpat, and just like a judgment cannot be Chozer, so too the Urim V'Tumim, the word of the Urim V'Tumim, cannot be Chozer. So Lama Nikra Shman Urim V'Tumim. Why was the name of this Beged called Urim V'Tumim? Why was it called Urim V'Tumim? So Urim Shema'irim Estavrayim, because it would be Meir, it would enlighten them, and Tumim Shemashlimim Estavrayim, because it would complete their word. And Tumim Shemashlimim, in other words, here's a raya that the words of the Urim V'Tumim are eno chozeres, that you never renege on the Urim V'Tumim, and that's why they're considered to be shalem, they're considered to be complete. V'im tomar begivas benyamin ay by pilegesh begiva b'bnei malo yishlimu. So why weren't the words of the Urim V'Tumim maintained? Why weren't they complied with? So heim lo bichnu imlinaseach imlinaseach. Ubiachrona shebichnu iskimu. Shenemar, we'll explain this in a second. Shenemar, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon omed lefanav biyamimahem. Leimar osif od latzei slamachama im bni binyamin achi im echtal veyomra Hashem alu kimacharet nenu biyadecha. So basically, by Pilegesh Begiva, they went out to war on three consecutive days. The first 2 days, the Shvatim were beaten very badly. The third day, they succeeded. So the question was, how come they only succeeded on the third day? They didn't succeed on the other days. And the answer is, because the first two days, he didn't ask, are they going to be Matzliach? He only asked, should we go out to war? The third day, when they asked, will we be Matzliach? That's when they actually were Matzliach. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan. So Ketzanasis, rather. So how would the Urim V'Tumim respond? So Rav Yochanan Omer Boltos, that the letters would protrude, that there was a breastplate and some of the letters would protrude, they would stick out. Resh Lakish Omer Mitzarfos, that you would have to, it would sort of be like a word game, like a little hidden word thing, and you would have to unscramble then the letters, to make a word. So says the Gemara, Veloksiv Bu'utsadi, but what was written on the Urim V'Tumim, the Choshen had the names of the Shvatim, and the names of the Shvatim didn't have all of the letters of the Aleph Beis in them. So says the Gemara, Veloksiv Bu'utsadi, the letter Tsadi is not written in any of, it does not appear in the names of any of the Shvatim, and how could it be that the Urim V'Tumim is going to answer questions if the Urim V'Tumim is not playing with a full deck? The Urim V'Tumim doesn't have all the letters in the Aleph Beis even. So Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, so Avram Yitzchak Yaakov Siv Sham. No, so it's not a problem, because even though the names of the Shvatim don't have the letter Tzadi, nor the Gra points out they don't have the letters Ches or Kuf, in addition to the names of the Shvatim, the names of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were also written on the Urim V'Tumim. So when you combine the Shvatim's names with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov's names, you'll see that there are all of the letters of the Aleph Beis. Voloksiv Tes, not all of them, there's no Tes. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Shifte Yeshurin Ksiv Sham. No, it also says Shifte Yeshurin, which is another name for Shifte Yisrael. So with the Shifte Yeshurin plus the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, we are going to have all of the letters in the Aleph Beis. So Meisvei Kol Kohen Sheina Medaber Baruach Hakodesh Ushchina Shorah Alav. Any Kohen who does not speak with Ruach Hakodesh, and on whom the Shechina doesn't rest, Ein Shalin Bo. You cannot ask him to ask a question of the Urim V'Tumim. Sharei Shol Tzadok V'Yalsa Lo Avyaser V'Lo Alsa Lo. Because David first tried asking Avyaser what the Urim V'Tumim was saying, but Avyaser couldn't answer him because he didn't have that Ruach Hakodesh anymore. So then he asked Tzadok, and he was able to get an answer. Shneimar Vayal Avyaser Ad Tom Kol Ha'am. So he said Vayav Tom Kol Ha'am. So eventually he was able to ask the question of Tzadok, but the implicit question in the Gemara is, if you're going to ask a question of the Urim V'Tumim, and the Urim V'Tumim is going to signal the answer, either by the letters sticking out or by letters lighting up, why do you need Ruach HaKodesh? The Urim V'Tumim is telling you exactly what the answer is. So says the Gemara, so you have a Messiah Badeh. No. You need that Ruach HaKodesh in order to help understand what exactly the Urim V'Tumim is saying. Like the famous Maisa by Chana, we mentioned Chana earlier. When Chana was davening, Eli thought she was drunk. He asked the Urim V'Tumim what's going on, and the Urim V'Tumim answered the letters Chaf Shin Resh Hey. but he had to scramble them. So Eli scrambled them and thought that the Urim V'Tumim was saying Shikora, that she's a shikur, and that she's a shikur in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's inappropriate. But rather, what the Urim V'Tumim was actually saying was Kesara, that she's like Sara Imenu. So why do you need Ruach HaKodesh even if the Urim V'Tumim is telling you the answer? Because you have to unscramble the words. You have to play the word game. Vein Shalan El Melech, only the Melech can ask the Urim V'Tumim, so Minon Imili. How do we know this? Amar Avavo, Demar Krov, Levnei Elazar HaKoyin Yamod, V'Shalo V'Mishpat Urim. Who is a reference to Melech? V'Chol B'nei Yisrael Ito Zeh Mashuach Melchama. That is the Chol B'nei Yisrael Ito is a reference to the Mashuach Melchama who leads all of Klal Yisrael in Melchama. V'Chol Ha'eda, and all the Eda there is Zeh Sanhedrin. So that's the procedure for asking questions over there on Metumim. All right, so I fell a little bit short today, but tomorrow I think is a shorter daf, and we will start the eighth perek, which is going to introduce us to the Chamishi Nuyim Ayom Kippur, God willing, in tomorrow's shir. Everybody, have an excellent day.